Well, it is exactly 11 o'clock, right on the bell. And it is opening bell sounds that open up our weekly segment, this week's market update with Manny Frangidakis, Stamati Sastra on the phone. I'm Teddy Dimitriadis, and also in studio is Professor Petro Vambakaso. Manny, ξανά καλημέρα. Stamati, the same to you. Good morning, gentlemen.
Καλημέρα.
Good morning.
Καλημέρα. Καλημέρα, καλημέρα. Πάμε στα χρηματιστηριακά. My inflation data is what everybody is waiting. Right now, the market has pretty much stabilized, I think, until the next shoe to drop.
Yeah, you're going to get CPI tomorrow, which will be an incredibly important number. And then you're going to get PPI on Thursday. You know, CPI is more important in terms of the Fed's mind, but both numbers will be incredibly important as we continue to figure out where the economy stands and where we're headed to next. And in particular, you know, do we continue to hike rates? Do we pause? Do we potentially have a Fed pivot? You know, and all of that just continues to lead to uncertainty. So to give you some examples, right now the market seems to be in wait-and-see mode. Fed futures right now are predicting a 90% chance that the chair will keep rates at 5 to 5.25 at the June meeting. But then there's also more than a 70% chance that cuts begin in September. Will be interesting to see if this actually plays out. We don't have that belief. We don't think we're going to see rate cuts in 2023. So that is the battle that is currently taking place on Wall Street presently.
What about focus a little bit on specific companies? Look at different sectors. What is your take so far on the results of the technology, all the way from Microsoft, Apple, and then I'll ask about the banks.
Yeah, I still don't have an appetite for large cap tech. I do think that, you know, even though these companies have benefited greatly so far this year in comparison to the market. In general, and in particular, when you look at equal weight between large, mall, and mid cap, large cap has obviously outperformed this year. But we think that's a false signal. We think that people are still holding on to the belief that the playbook that worked over the last decade will continue to work. We do not share that belief. We think that something massively changed in the system in terms of their earnings. Yeah, they're okay. You've had some misses, you've had some beats, but don't forget earnings were dropped by a 6% threshold for them to create a barrier of entry for these reports to be seen as productive. I'll tell you what, I liked Palantir last night. I am there. I like Palantir a lot. I thought that was a really good report. But then you look at PayPal this morning, and they've dropped significantly. They didn't have a good number. And then when you look at some of the other companies that reported, like the new green energy company, similar to like Plug Power, they're down nearly 10% in pre-market. And then you look at electric vehicle maker Fisker, they're down substantially and have cut guidance and fiscal year. Same thing with Lucid Group. So overall, the market's not performing well. It's actually being held up by a narrow and select few companies, in particular about 7 or 8 of them. I'm sure most people don't know who Bob Farrell is, but Bob Farrell is an extremely famous technical analyst, and he has his 7 rules. I'm not going to repeat all 7 of them, but you can certainly Google it. One of the top rules is markets are weak when they're led by narrow performance. And they're, you know, when you see breadth drop, as we've seen for the last 2 months, that is indicative of a very weak market. So as much as people want to believe that we're getting ready for the next leg of a bull market, we find that very, very hard to believe. And we still believe, hold on to the fact that most likely we will go retest those October lows, S&P 3550, by the 12.5% drop from here later this year.
12.5% drop.
Correct.
Well,
that's a real drop.
That's a real drop. Correct.
And that's for the S&P 500. So I can assume that Nasdaq is going to be higher.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, so and if you're looking at, you know, you want to switch over to the banks. I'm sure people didn't want another acronym, but you got one yesterday in terms of SLOOS that you'll hear now all over the place. What does SLOOS tell you? SLOOS is Senior Lender operator survey, right? So senior loan officer survey is what Blue stand for. Those came out yesterday. I couldn't tell you the last time that someone actually paid attention to those reports in my entire career, but now they're front and center as people are watching to see how quickly credit conditions are tightening in this country, and they are pretty aggressively. So this is exactly what the Federal Reserve wants to see. The question is how weak does the economy get before we start to see a break in inflation? That's really going to drive the narrative in terms of where do they stand on potential rate hikes and rate cuts.
So, you know, I'm not a medical person at all, but, you know, it sounds like, you know, what you just described, it was almost like a chemotherapy to the economy.
Yeah.
Right? Almost like you have to, like, kill some cells. I mean, you have to, like,
what it is. You know? What the Fed's been trying to do for the last, you know, call it over a year. Kill demand. Get steam out of the economy. Create unemployment. Like, these are all the things that Fed tightening is trying to provoke.
So I mean, that has effects across the board. I mean, you're talking about the banks, you know, and then earlier today we're talking about the demand as far as the pricing, and as far as like tourism and travel is concerned, and just, you know, going back to what you were saying last week as far as killing demand. But you're seeing it everywhere right now. So, like, you know, where is that breaking point where, like, the economy really has an effect in society and politics too, you know?
That is the massive level of uncertainty that continues to face this market. They don't know where the breaking point is. At some point, does the consumer give in? At some point, do companies give in? Most of the time, the consumer ends up winning this battle. But it's, you know, right now, consumer spending still remains strong. People are actually taking out debt to continue to purchase, which, you know, eventually you would imagine that reverses course. But at the present time, you know, the economy is still growing. The question is at what rate? And that's going to be determined as, you know, these next couple months play out. I.e. credit conditions. If companies can't get money to invest in CapEx, to invest in their product offerings, to grow supply lines, that's going to dent GDP. At the same time, you know, if we do get a massive recession, which we're not sure of yet, there's a debate going on whether you have hard landing or soft landing. Unfortunately, I'm leaning more on the side of a hard landing, because the last time we've gone through rate hiking campaigns like this, call it the previous 15 or 17, only three of them have resulted in soft landings. So it's hard to imagine that this time is going to be different. But at the same time, if you do get that result, then how quickly do they cut rates? And that's what the market is trying to sort out right now, because this could be a semi-regular recession where it could last 3 to 4 quarters, but at the same time, they start cutting rates as early as 2024. Our expectation is the market catches wind of that. You have a decent first half of the year of 2024, people waking up in 2025 thinking that's the time going to be invest, they would have missed the train. Because it's usually not when the market doesn't rally when the first rate cut happens. The market rallies when the last rate cut occurs. Yeah. So it's going to be a two-edged sword as we continue to navigate for the next, could be 12 to 18 months.
I got to tell you, you got a great way of explaining it to me anyway, and I'm sure to the entire listening audience.
In your estimation then, Manny, I mean, just like I'm intrigued by what you just said. I mean, when do we realize, you know, the debt that we're carrying? Like, you know, because the Federal Reserve is increasing the rates, and then people like you and others who are, like, you know, cognizant of what rate increases mean, especially mortgage and things like that. Do people holding credit cards, one day they realize that their credit card rate is now, like, in the 20s instead of the teens, and then they realize that what they've been spending on is sort of, like, puts them in a major hole? Is that where we see it first, in your estimation, in credit card debt?
Yeah, I mean, it's exploded, right? It's at almost an all-time high at this point in terms of credit card debt and credit card fees being charged. So, you know, the people that end up in that world, they're going to get stuck in a hole. And if you build up significant debt and have an 18 to 22% rate on it, I don't know how you get out of it.
Yeah. I mean, and then you have the banks, right? I mean, then the other side of that is, like, you know, what's happening to the banks? You know, how solid are the banks?
Yeah, The banks are solid, right? It depends on where you look at the banking sector, right? So there's multiple different segments all the way down to, you know, banks that have $10 billion worth of deposits. Those are your really small community banks. The real issue with the banks is that 60% of the commercial real estate loans occur at the small to medium level. They don't happen with JP Morgan, B of A. They have a small portion of it, but those commercial real estate loans in these specific geographic regions, locations, are facilitated by the small banks and medium-sized banks. So that's the other shoe that is really yet to drop is what is the effect of commercial real estate on these banks and their balance sheets? And it's not going to be good. What it's going to end up meaning is that they're not going to be able to lend.
Yeah, but because you're still seeing this. We're not seeing what we saw a month or 2 months ago with the banks, but you're still like seeing like, you know, a bank faltering here and there kind of a thing. And so that's still like on the horizon. So it might not be prominently in the news, but it's still there, right?
It's going to be continue to be a problem as soon as we continue to hike rates or keep rates elevated, because again they have loans on their books that are at a 2% rate when the market now is at 5. Those are massively unprofitable. They have to get those off their balance sheet and sell them at significant losses to be able to make depositors whole in the back end.
Well,
it's definitely not. It's a very uncertain environment. Yeah. Like there's nothing truly, you know, rosy about this. The only thing that we can say that is potentially rosy is that the economy is continuing to stay somewhat strong here.
Spending.
Spending. You can get 4% on a savings account through your Apple.
Yeah, but you can get over 5% in a 6-month T-bill. But I mean, at the same time, everyone's now focusing on, does the government default? The government is not going to default. They're going to figure this out. I can promise you that congressional members want to get paid.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, but that's it. I mean, that's the thing, that the whole system that we're in is based on trust, and the whole idea of confidence being lost constantly with this shadow dance that the political parties are having, it's creating a huge damage. I agree with you. I mean, the government is not going to default, but you know, what's the price of trust and confidence here?
Yeah, but they're using it as a political football, because as we get ready for a massive presidential election, it's going to be really nice to be able to point the finger and say, look at what the Democrats did, or look at what the Republicans did, and use that as a marketing campaign to go out and gain votes.
Yeah.
Just also in the economy, just if you vision it, you know, everybody we know and us, everybody's working. You know, unemployment's, you know what, 3.5-4%, which virtually means that, you know, I mean, if you don't have a job, you don't want a job. You know, you can get a job doing anything right now. You really can. You know what I mean? It might not be the job of your dreams, but if you, you know, people are, you know, they're working, they're making their money, and they're spending it. You know, they're living. That's it.
Yeah. That doesn't help you in the fight against inflation, Teddy.
No, I understand, but it's just and it's also different. We discuss this a lot with Petra, you know, when we talk about it's a little bit different within our group as opposed to what, you know, the general public experiences. You know, we work hard, you know, so, you know, we've accumulated something, you know, we're not going to starve. But in general, you know, that's alo us and alo ali, you know, I guess.
I think it cuts across, though. I mean, I think it's on different levels, and it affects you in different levels, whether you're like you have kids in college, or you're like you're financing a mortgage, or, you know, working a job that might not be as steady as it used to be. I think that's the message right now, that it's across the board, and you have another world that's very much interconnected, because you could say this shadow dance that, you know, that I described earlier inside the U.S., but it's a wider world out there, and it does have an effect. I mean, like, you know, the center of gravity is completely gone from the world that we knew as of yesterday, so, you know.
I agree with that. Manny Stamati, any closing comments, gentlemen? Good show today.
Yeah, what's going to happen to say?
I didn't
hear
that.
What's going to happen to the Celtics?
I think that's what he said.
I
think he said, what do you think of the Celtics? But anyway, we'll close on that. What do you think? I think they're going to win tonight. That's what I think.
I think so, too. I think that they let game four get away from them. Mm-hmm. You know, you're up 8 points going. But again, same problem that they've had since the second half of the season. Can't close out games.
That's it.
It's a joke.
You got to close.
But I think that they're, you know, on paper, we're a much better team.
Yeah.
And I think it will end up being, hopefully, knock on wood, Celtics versus the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, that's going to be a tough team to get by, but we got to focus on the task at hand. So let's hope that we go out there tonight and play some good defense, move the ball around, and make some smart choices on the shot selection.
If you can't win games in playoffs, then it's a recipe for disaster. You need to have that killer instinct. Otherwise, yeah, you know, so I mean, like going back to Belichick and the big days of the Patriots. You know, he had Brady out there even the last second. He never benched him because of that. You got to have that killer instinct.
You got to have it. You got to keep going. Yeah, you're right there, ready to rock and roll. Manny Stamati, thank you very much, gentlemen. Have yourselves a wonderful afternoon. And God willing, we'll do this all over again next Tuesday.
Kalimera sas.
All right, a little more music. We got an hour remaining. Don't forget that Mike Giannetti, MJ the DJ, should be joining us shortly.